Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm a warehouse worker for a small business in my city. I'd been in and out of jobs for a while, so this wasn't really a career or anything. I just did what I had to do every night, and that was it. Specifically, I had to unload pallets of shipments that came in and put everything in their designated places in the warehouse. Super simple job, and most of the time I just put in earbuds and listened to music while I did it. With the warehouse not being too big, very rarely would there be another person working overnight with me. That would only be on the holidays, but this night was just a regular night. I came in, counted the stock, then put my headphones in and started unloading the boxes from the shipments. I started at 10, and it was probably somewhere between 12 and 1 a.m. when a knock echoed through the building. I took my headphones out and listened, but didn't hear it anymore. The building was old and would creak and groan throughout the nights, especially when it was windy outside.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But what I thought I heard was clearly someone knocking. I walked down to the back of the building and looked around, then went to the front. I didn't see anything inside, so I opened the front door and looked outside. The parking lot was empty, and the night was still and quiet. I shut and locked the door, then went back to work, thinking I must have just misheard it. Being more cautious, though, I left my headphones out for a bit. 20-ish minutes went by before I heard something again. This wasn't a knock, though. It was more of a single thump coming from the front. I hurried down the hallway and up to the front portion of the warehouse. Nothing was there. No signs of anything wrong or anyone at the door. I knew what I heard this time, though, which is why I got kind of nervous. I stood in the middle of the room for a moment and just looked around silently, listening and looking for something, anything, to be the cause of these noises. Standing there, I got a bad gut feeling, just that something wasn't good about this. I walked up to the front door and leaned on it to look out at the parking lot again. But as I put my weight on the door, it swung open with ease. I stumbled forward, not expecting it. It was almost as if the door wasn't locked or even latched at all. Yet I had checked and locked it not even a half hour ago. I looked at the door, then saw the latch lying broken on the ground in front of me. My stomach tightened, and I felt my adrenaline suddenly spike. Not even a second later, I heard the faint sound of footsteps echoing from the dim hallway behind me. I quickly went out the door and into the parking lot, still in a dazed and unsure state. Once I was a good distance from the door, I turned around. Barely visible through the glass door, the shape of a figure walked up to the other side. They moved around for a moment, definitely looking at me. Then they walked away. I called the cops as soon as I could and waited in the parking lot, but never saw any more movement in the building. When they arrived, they found that he'd left through the back door, and it seems like they couldn't figure out anything else to help solve the case. A few things showed up missing, but nothing substantial, and honestly, I think it was probably just from a wrong stock account. Regardless of if anything was stolen, to break the latch, he must have had some kind of tool or weapon, which only makes the whole thing more scary. They also moved the door back to look like it was closed, knowing it would keep me from figuring out what was going on. Maybe if I hadn't noticed the door was broken, I would have come face to face with whoever that man was, and I have no way of knowing how that would have turned out. Although unlikely, I couldn't shake the feeling that he was coming after me for some reason. So I've since left that job and moved on, hoping I don't run into him again. I'm a receptionist at a popular hotel chain in the US. For the better part of a year, I'd been working overnights. This night, I was doing my usual shift of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. It was pouring outside, so I wasn't expecting any walk-ins, and on the schedule, it didn't show any bookings starting tonight. On nights like these, my job is to just stay awake and take phone calls, or help current customers with any room services or checkouts. We had a coffee machine in the hotel lobby, so I had a cup of coffee next to me as I tried to stay awake. Even having been on overnights for a while now, I still had trouble with getting tired on my shifts. The rain outside made me even more tired as well. But at 1 a.m., a phone call came in. I answered, and before I could even speak, a man quickly asked if we were still accepting walk-ins. Their voice was very muffled though, and there was a background sound that was really loud.
"Yeah, we have rooms available for walk-ins tonight,"
I said. They responded, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. As I asked if they could repeat themselves, I looked up from the desk and saw a small light glowing outside. It was from a phone as someone was holding it up to their ear, standing almost right up against the front window in the pouring rain. Knowing it had to be the man I was talking to, I was about to wave to them, but something about this made me feel uneasy, so I decided to pretend like I didn't see him. A moment later, though, he ended the phone call. I saw the lights turn off outside, and the outline of the man moving toward the entrance. The doors opened, and the man walked through the hotel lobby, dragging water across the floor. He came up to the counter and bluntly asked for a room. He was fully soaked and had water dripping from his hair, yet his face showed nothing but exhaustion. I don't know if I'd ever seen someone look so sleep-deprived. I said okay and found him a room, then asked how he'd like to pay for it. He slowly reached into his pocket and pulled out a debit card, then handed it to me. I swiped it, but it declined. I looked up at him, only to see he was staring at me.
It didn't go through. Do you have another card to try?
The man didn't respond, holding his stare and not moving aside from a few blinks. As the seconds kept on without any reaction, I grew more and more uneasy. I looked down and put the card on the desk, sliding it back to him, but he didn't even look at it. He turned and started walking away from the desk and toward the hallway with the rooms. By now, I knew something wasn't right, so I quickly pressed the button that calls for police, then went out to the hallway the man was in, finding him standing at the door to one of the rooms. He started pounding on it, yelling in a harsh voice for them to open the door. I tried telling him to stop, but I didn't want to get too close, not knowing if he was in some kind of dangerous state. But then he pulled a small knife from his pocket and started trying to pry the door open. I yelled at him to stop and that the police were on their way. The man stopped for a second and shot an awful glance at me, then faced me and screamed at me to open the door for him as he started walking down the hallway. I was terrified and just ran right out of the hotel and into the parking lot. Through the window, I could see him go back to the same door and continue pounding on it. Police were quick to show up, making it inside before the man could get into the room. Somehow they got him to drop the knife and locked him up in their car. The person that was in the room came out. It was a kind young lady, visibly shaking and horrified. Turned out, the man was an ex of hers that she hadn't seen or talked to in over 10 years. How he got the information on where she was staying and even what room she was in, nobody seems to know. They aren't even sure how long he'd been stalking her for, which is really disturbing. But what he would have done had he gotten in is likely even more disturbing. My parents own a small shop in our town. It's nothing special, just selling regular groceries and food from local businesses. They'd been running it for over 20 years, and my dad took it very seriously, keeping the store open until 12 every night, and sometimes even staying later. When I turned 16, I started helping out a few hours a week, and when I turned 18, I started working full-time while doing online college courses. This night was my dad's day off, and my mom was having some health issues at the time, so it was just me closing the store. It usually stays not so busy for the last few hours of the night, and there was never too much to stock either. Around 9, almost no customers were coming in. I think only one or two people came in, so I grabbed a sandwich from the fridge and took a quick lunch break. Of course, right when I did, someone walked in. I made my way back to the front desk and put the sandwich aside, waiting for the customer to finish shopping first. I pulled my phone out, and after a couple minutes, I looked up to see how the customer was doing, but didn't see him. I scanned the room again, and still didn't see him anywhere. Thinking they were maybe in some off angle I couldn't see, I waited a few more minutes, but they still never came into sight. I didn't even hear them either. Feeling off, I walked around the counter and started looking through the aisles, and it didn't take long to find them. In the second aisle, a man was crouched down at the end, staring at the floor and not moving or making a sound.
"Sir?"
The man immediately looked up at me, then stood up and continued to stare at me. All I could focus on were his eyes. They were wide and full, kind of in an unsettling way. But after a couple seconds, he quickly walked away and out of the store. never having spoken a word. Once I saw him leave, my first reaction was to check where he was crouching to see if there was any reason to be there, but there wasn't. I mean, that whole time, he was just crouching in the aisle. It kind of freaked me out because of how odd it was. I went up to the front door and checked that he'd fully left the area. Obviously, it was dark out, but I didn't see him anywhere. I then went back to the counter and stayed a little more alert. 3 hours passed, and not a single customer came in. It was now time to close up, and after so much time passing, I wasn't thinking about that man anymore. I was just ready to go home. I walked up to the front and locked up the door, then grabbed my bag and started walking toward the back door to leave, when an extremely loud bang screeched through the store. I stopped in place, knowing it had to come from somewhere in the back, and it was so loud that I had no idea what it could have been. Worried, I slowly walked to the corner and looked down the back hallway. At the far end, dust was scattering through the air as the metal back door was loosely open, and standing right in the hallway was that same man from earlier. He was staring at me with the same wide-open eyes. I didn't know what to say or do. It was like I was just frozen in that moment. Despite his clear determination to break in, he didn't look angry. He had no emotion at all. I took a few slow steps back, then ran for the front, leaving the store and running to the other side of the street, calling 911. I called my dad too, and he rushed over to make sure I was okay. The man at the store was gone when police got there, but he'd left behind a sledgehammer sitting on the pavement behind the store. At first sight, nothing looked to be missing or stolen, so his intentions are anyone's best guess. It's clear he was unstable though, which means he could have been planning anything. Thankfully for me, I didn't have to find out what that was.
At the time this happened, I was only a 13-year-old girl. This happened 2 years ago when I was fairly naive. I was a major introvert, only friends with a few people in my class. I wanted to be social, but I preferred to be alone and read or write. Classic nerd things. In early November, I got a text on my phone. It was a group chat, asking if we wanted to hang out at night near a park at our school. My parents, being strict and paranoid, would never let me go. Luckily, or what I thought was luck, they were heading out for an overnight trip, and they would be back around 4 in the morning. Everything fell into place for me. Once my parents left around 8 o'clock, I ran out the door and made my way to the park. The one thing I made sure to do was lock the door, because my parents were paranoid after all, and it was their biggest thing that they engraved into me. Once I arrived at the park, I noticed a creepy figure near the edge of the woods. No one else seemed to notice it, and I already thought I had enough reputation as a weirdo. Was too much into true crime, and I didn't mention it. The night drew on, and I was having the time of my life, ignoring the gut feeling I had telling me to run. Every so often, I would look over my shoulder, and the man would still be standing there. Around 10 o'clock, 4 out of the 10 people there had to leave due to their curfew. It was getting cold and was nearly pitch black with a few lit streetlights every so often.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burning Up Tour, all over again.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The rest of us decided to go as well, since it felt more eerie and quiet. The place we were hanging out at was a field that was fenced in with a few exits and entrances. A large wide field with a small park in the back and our giant middle school behind us. The front of the field faced the empty road, and the right and left sides were surrounded by forest. All the people left were getting picked up by cars. The man from earlier that I saw stood by the right part of the forest and road exit that I needed to take to get home. I walked away from my group and I tried to steady my heavy breathing. I didn't want to be paranoid, but all the true crime I listened to was catching up to me. The man was probably early 40s to late 30s, dark hair with a beard. Probably only around 5'9", but at the time it seemed like 6 foot or more. He stood about 10 feet from the exit I had to take, so when I got close enough to it, I ran for about 30 feet through the exit and through the woods. Once I finally felt safe enough, I started to quickly walk through the woods. I heard a snap and a crunch from behind me. I stopped walking for a second and quickly checked over my shoulder. Around 15 feet behind me stood the very same man. He was walking slowly behind me, almost as if he was trying not to be suspicious, but it only made my fear worse. I turned around and walked so quickly, I was basically jogging. I lived about 10 minutes away from the park that we had hung out at, and I wasn't necessarily athletic enough to run home. After around 7 minutes of walking fast, I was in my neighborhood. I knew that I could run to my house now if I had to, so I checked to see if he was still trailing behind me. To my horror, he was only 20 yards away. So I ran, faster than I've ever. I could hear his footsteps behind me thumping across the concrete as he ran too. I rushed down an alleyway I knew well and tried to lose him in a park, making my way home longer. I could hear his heavy breath followed by his footsteps as he tried to keep up. I cut through the houses, backyards, and front yards, and I finally made it to my house and flew up the steps. I looked behind me, and he had just arrived at the bottom of my stairs as I unlocked the door and bursted through it, shoving it closed behind me, and I heard him hit the door with his whole body. I ran around the house and locked all of the windows, turned off all the lights, and I hid in my bedroom with a kitchen knife, just in case he got in. But he didn't, luckily. If this was a better world, that would be where my story would end, but it doesn't. After a few months, I hadn't really told anyone what happened since I didn't want to get in trouble with my parents for sneaking out. I didn't go out with anyone after this, and my loner status returned. I began to write horror stories as a coping mechanism, and I never went out past 7 o'clock. It was around February when a classmate of mine was sharing a story of some random man following her home from the bus. She described him almost the exact same as the man who had chased me home. Even another girl mentioned that he sounded like the guy who stood outside the school and tried to follow her home once. I didn't join in, but everyone agreed that this guy was just weird. He was kind of forgotten, and eventually I moved on too. But around May, I was getting ready to walk to school when my mom pulled me aside and showed me a picture of a man. The guy who stalked me, actually. She told me that he'd been arrested 2 weeks ago for sexually assaulting a child and had escaped last night. She told me to keep an eye out for him and to call the cops if I saw him. I was shaking the whole time I walked to school. It haunts me to know that if he had caught me, I would most likely be in her position, or even dead. This incident happened during the summer of 2015, just after I had turned 21. And to date, it is still one of the scariest things I've ever experienced. To this day, I still get creeped out when I remember it. The day after it happened, I went back to the park and I took pictures of the whole journey in the daylight to send to a friend. So I'll include them here as proof as well. One of my favorite things to do that summer was drive around late at night. As soon as the sun had dipped beneath the sky, or as soon as I clocked out from my job, I'd be in my car and ready to explore the city that I grew up in. July 9th, 2015 was one of those nights. My city's Italian-American festival was being held that week, so after getting out of an evening summer class I was taking at the time, I headed downtown to see the festival for a bit, and I met some friends. I left the festival around 10 p.m, and since I was still wide awake, I decided to go hang out in this little park that was on the shore of a local lake and listen to some music for a while. When I got there, no one was around, and the combination of the warm night air, the quiet rippling of the water from a gentle breeze, and the distant sounds and lights of the nearby city limits lighting up the edge of the horizon made for a perfect night to be out there alone. I parked near the gated entrance to the old weathered playground I had known since childhood and perched myself on one of the swings, with my headphones in and playlist blaring. I was there for about half an hour before they showed up. a set of headlights turned into the parking lot and caught my attention. I watched as a little red Saturn parked on my passenger's side, right next to the gate that I had come in. This little lakeside park is a common night fishing spot, so at first I didn't think anything of another car showing up, and I brushed it off. But after a few minutes, something in my brain told me to be aware of my surroundings. It was then that I realized for the last several minutes, the man and the woman who were the vehicle's occupants had been getting in and out of their car, talking in hushed whispers, and turning their stereo up and down as they did. At one point, they had opened their back passenger doors and were messing around in the back seat, like they were trying to unload something large. They made a concentrated effort to keep themselves in the darkness, and when I realized all of this, the hair on the back of my neck started to stand up. My brain told me to turn off my music, but keep my headphones in, and keep swinging a little bit, so they would think I was still oblivious to what they were doing. When I did, I heard the girl say something that made my blood freeze.
"I think she's almost done on the swings."
At that moment, I knew these people were up to something, and the realization that they had been watching me confirmed the warning bells going off in my head were not needless anxiety. I needed to get out of that park, but in order to do so, I would have to walk through the gate and past them to get to my car, and my mind was screaming at me not to go near them. Instead, I got off the swing and walked toward the back corner of the playground, where the majority of the large equipment was, and acted like I was texting someone. I hid myself from view while I tried to figure out what to do, and what I heard next made my heart drop into my stomach. A third person's voice joined their conversation. It was then that I realized that while I was busy keeping my eye on these weirdos, a second car had pulled into the parking lot, but the driver had never gotten out until now, when I was out of sight. It was an older-looking woman with a raspy voice, who sounded like she had been chain-smoking all of her life. And suddenly, the three of them started arguing in the darkness. I just knew I needed to get out of that park, but I didn't want to be seen. The part of the playground I was hiding in was situated up against a fence line that separated the playground and fishing area from the basketball courts and boat dock. Aiding in concealing me in the darkness was a large maple tree, whose thickly leaved branches dipped halfway to the ground, and whose trunk, thankfully, was growing on my side of the fence. I decided I was going to climb the tree, high enough to where I could at the very least saddle the fence and hop over. I did this as quickly and quietly as possible, and as I realized I was actually doing it, I was hit with a powerful combination of nerves and adrenaline that almost caused me to lose my balance and fall. Luckily, I saddled the chain link fence, which started squeaking loudly and digging painfully into my thighs through my jeans, but I didn't care. In one sweep, I was up and over the fence, free at last. Afterwards, I decided that I was going to slink around in the dark to the other gated entrance to the park by the boat dock, and then sneak my way along the road back to the entrance where I was parked. Once I was there, I was going to make a dash for my driver's side door and get in as quickly as possible, lock the doors, and get the hell out of that park. My heart was still pounding as I walked along the wet grass, but now that I was where I was at, doubts started to pop into my mind. What if I was over-exaggerating, and what if I was blowing things out of proportion, like I have a tendency to do sometimes? What if they weren't doing anything wrong? As I got closer to the main entrance, I did my best to hide myself in the shadows from the orange glow of the streetlight that illuminated the road. Just at the entrance was a large bush with a porta potty on the other side, and I quickly ducked behind it until I could work up the nerve to run to my car. The people were still there, but now they were congregating in the parking lot, with the raspy voice lady less than 50 feet away from me, standing next to her car. Just as I was trying to figure out what to do next, I heard her say the one thing on top of everything else that I heard and experienced that night that completely took all the strength and bravery out of me.
"Did you get rid of the body yet?"
It was like someone punched me in the stomach with an iron fist of fear, and all the momentum I had built up just drained from my body instantly. I wasn't sure if this lady was messing with me, and even after she said it, I wasn't even sure that I actually heard what I thought I heard her say. But whatever was going on, I knew I needed to get out of there, and fast. I barely had time to think as this lady got into her car and started the engine, with the sight of her taillights in reverse, prompting me to quick and immediate action. As she started to back up and swing around to pull out the gate, I dashed across the street and up a random person's driveway, concealing myself in thick foliage as quickly as possible. I watched as both cars pulled out of the parking lot, the gold Nissan that raspy lady had been driving going right, while the red Saturn with the guy and the girl went left off into the night. As soon as I was sure both cars were out of sight, I ran full speed down the driveway and into my car, shaking so badly I could barely unlock the door. Once inside, I was relieved to find that they hadn't broken in and stolen anything, and I peeled out of the park, doing no less than 50 miles per hour on the main roads home. I had gotten to the park a little after 10 p.m., and it was now 11:45 p.m. I pulled into the driveway of my house with my car still running, and I spent at least 15 minutes on the phone with the police, crying as the full realization of what had just happened hit me. The county sheriff's department was sent out to search the park when I said the lady had mentioned dumping a body, but nothing was found. They called me back around 3 in the morning once they finished their investigation and had me answer a few more questions. I didn't sleep at all that night. Around 7 a.m., I called my mom as she was getting ready to go into work, telling her what happened. Normally, my mother is quick to call me out and over-exaggerating things, and I called her partially to confirm that I was indeed overreacting to what had happened the night before. But after I was done telling my tale, she got really quiet on the other end of the phone before telling me not to ever go into that park at night again. I didn't go back there for months afterwards. To this day, I don't know if anything ever came of my report, or if those people were ever caught for anything. At the time, there was a man who had disappeared from the next town over, and his story was all over the local news. A few weeks after he went missing, his body was found in a major national park, about 30 minutes from where this little park was. I still wonder about all of that to this day. This happened roughly 6 years ago, and I would have been about 26 years old at the time. I live in a small town in the mountains of southern Appalachia. If you aren't from this region, and that immediately brings to mind visions of poverty and dark hollers, well, they do exist, but the town I am from and still reside in is a university town with roughly 70,000 people. We have a number of public parks, but in recent years, the most popular is the newest, which was built on the south side of town and has a dog park, in addition to a normal playground-type park for children, and numerous walking trails, some of which go through wooded areas. It isn't uncommon for people to be walking their dogs late at night. I need to describe the layout of the park a little bit in order for the story to make sense. There was a large parking lot on one end, and this is the main entrance of the park, and it is where the children's playground and the dog park are located, as well as the restrooms, etc. This lot is long rather than wide and stretches alongside a sidewalk that runs next to the playground. On the other end of the park, which is over some hills and through some lightly forested areas, there is a small pond and another smaller lot. This lot has a gate just like the bigger one, but it has a little area before the gate where it is common for people walking at night to park their cars. I had a friend back in those days who was an avid walker. She was a couple years older than I was and, although petite, was sort of fearless. She would very often go walking at night by herself, and her apartment at the time was sort of out in the country, but only a mile or so from this park. So sometimes she would drive out there and walk by herself at night as well. I would say things sometimes like, you know, you should be more careful. Maybe that's just because I'm a man who was raised in the South and we're perpetually worried about the females in our lives. She was fairly enlightened and would get angry when I would say something like this. None of this is to say I told you so, by the way. I'm just trying to paint a picture. Anyways, long story short, I started meeting her some evenings and walking with her, figuring a bearded 6'1" and 250-pound man would be a deterrent to most creepers. So one night we were walking, and while there were usually a few people in the park, it wasn't super late. It was late fall, and the nights were starting to come a little bit quicker. It seemed like maybe it was around 8 p.m., but like I said, it's been 6 years. Anyways, I had a rental car that week, luckily as it turned out. Because of some work being done on my car, and I had parked behind the gate on the wooded side of the park. As we came through the woods and rounded a hill towards the main entrance of the park, I sort of clocked a van in my peripheral vision that was pulling in the gate of the park, which for whatever reason had not yet been closed. The Parks and Rec employees in my town are sort of notorious for not being strict enforcers on the closed at dusk rule. The weird thing about this was that it was sort of a cliche creeper van. It was an older model Chevy with no windows in the back, a mottled rust and paint job, and dark tinted windows in the front. For a lot of you, depending on where you live, I'm sure this might already be raising alarms, but in Tennessee, that is like every fifth car on the road. As we walked up the sidewalk, parallel to the lot, the van turned behind us and then drove slowly past us on our left, coming almost to a stop, then speeding up to circle around ahead of us at the end of the lot. At this point, obviously I was paying closer attention. Now the van was coming back toward us, and the driver's side window was down. This would be the part where a lot of naysayers would probably think I'm making this up, because the man staring at us from that van was about the closest thing to a cliche creep I could think of. He was large and even bigger than me, with weird aviator-style glasses that may have been sunglasses, but were transparent enough that you could still see his eyes. He was wearing a hat and a camo-style coat, and he had a black mustache. He idled not 10 feet from us, just staring at us expressionless for a moment. We both sort of stopped and stiffened and looked back at him. There was something about his gaze, some cold-hearted malevolence, the likes of which I hadn't really ever felt in my life, which immediately chilled me to my bones. I have read articles about sociopaths and psychopaths, where scientists theorize that the reason we feel uneasy in their presence is tied into an ancient biological response from the times when truly we were their prey, and they were predators among human groups and tribes. But I felt that in that moment. I felt like I was out in the wild, naked on the tundra, and he was zeroing in on me. It was this feeling more than anything that elevated this moment for me, from merely dealing with a creep to something that was perhaps far more sinister. I grabbed my friend by the arm and said roughly, "Let's go," and started quickly across the field toward the series of hills and trees that were between us and the car, leaving the sidewalk behind. She was shocked at first and followed quickly. We half walked and half ran a few hundred yards, before realizing that the van had pulled out of the lot behind us and disappeared. My adrenaline was still pumping, and we had a quick conversation, basically consisting of, "What in God's name was that?" and "Let's get back to the car and get out of here." We quickly moved through the woods and started back down the hill. As it descends toward the lot, there are a couple of wide, sweeping switchbacks with some trees and shrubs alongside. We crested the hill and could see the lot below, and what we saw there made my blood stop pumping for a moment. Behind my rental car, the Chevy van was parked, with its bright lights shining on the car and up the hill a little ways. We hid behind some foliage and watched as he switched his headlights on and off for a minute or two. Then he pulled back a bit and shined his brights further up the hill. He sat there for a long moment as we cursed the fact that we had left our cell phones in the car, tried to decide what to do. Of course, he abruptly peeled out of the lot and took off down the road, which I did not mention before is a 2-lane country road with not much on it but cow fields and trees. We took off running down the hill toward the car and were now just outside the ring of trees near the lot when he suddenly swings back in. Luckily, we were near cover and got behind a tree, just up the hill from him. Again, he started shining his brights off and on into the trees. At this point, I was thinking I was going to have to attack him or something to try and draw him away long enough for my friend to escape. Fear, adrenaline, and anger all converged in me like a dark river, and I was probably seconds away from bursting out from the tree and taking a run at him when he once again peeled out of the lot as fast as he could. Well, he didn't have to tell us twice. We sprinted the remaining distance to the rental car and jumped in. I took off and went about 60 miles per hour down the road until we got into a neighborhood. I never saw the van on the road. In fact, I didn't see any cars until we got to a main road. I have no idea where he went. If he was sitting somewhere off the road, waiting or what. We got back to her apartment and my friend told me that, at long last, she would accept a can of mace if I ever wanted to give her one. We had a good laugh at that, but we were desperately shaken. We decompressed and talked it over a while, and I agreed to contact the police the next day. I went down to the station and told an officer what happened, but I never heard anything else about it. I have no idea what he wanted. Maybe he was a pervert. Maybe he was a good old boy that just didn't like the idea of people in the park after dark.
The Jonas Brothers are running it back. Relive the Burning Up Tour and celebrate the biggest Jonas Brothers hits that have defined a generation. One incredible celebration. One unforgettable night. See the Jonas Brothers live across North America in 2026. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Jonas Brothers, the Burn It Up Tour, all over again.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But that look he gave me when he was idling next to us makes me think we were pretty lucky to get away. Whatever his intentions, I would surely be glad to never meet him again.
Healthcare can feel complicated. That's why Optum uses technology to connect the people and processes that make healthcare easier, more affordable, and more effective. We're making it clearer for you to know exactly what your benefits cover. And to help you better manage your health, we're coordinating care between your doctors and your technology. We believe better, simpler healthcare is always possible. That's healthy optimism. That's Optum. Visit Optum.com to learn more.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.